Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to get the phone calls in the mix. We're talking Lions. It's a football Friday. The Houston Texans hosting Detroit on Sunday Night Football. And if you missed the picks, we all think the Lions are winning this game and covering. There's really a lot of optimism around this team. We've talked about it. Nothing phases them. But at the same time, not to talk out of both sides of our mouth, John has them at 14-3. That means they will lose two games the rest of the way. I am much more optimistic at 15-2, but even I think they're going to lose one game the rest of the way. When is it? But let's get to the phones. We've got Sean in Westland. Sean, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I don't want to throw shade on this situation because I love the run that we're on. I love the Lions. I love the Smith trade. But just precautionary, right? So Za'Darius Smith was opposite Myles Garrett in Cleveland, and he's come into a situation where he doesn't have Hutch on the other end right now. So, as excited as I am for it, I just don't know that the production is going to be there as much as it was in Cleveland. But he's basically replacing Davenport at this point, right?
Well, I mean, no, I think he's a much better version of Marcus Davenport. You could make a couple of
that, yeah.
But so Davenport, you can never really rely on to be there. Za'Darius Smith, other than in 21, his last year in Green Bay, he has played 16 games in almost every single year of his career, and he might actually play 18 this year.
Yeah.
So a couple things.
I just look at it without Garrett on the other end.
Oh, I think it's a factor. It's a factor. Now, I would point out that Detroit's got some interior space eaters that can demand a double occasionally, which will help Za'Darius. Detroit is also willing to blitz opposite the Aiden spot of the defense to help create one-on-ones. That's one thing they did last year to free Aiden up, is they blitzed opposite side with some safeties and linebackers. And I imagine to help Za'Darius, it's good defensive coaching, they'll sprinkle that in. I don't like the Davenport comparison. And John, you're already starting to go down this path, but I'll put some numbers to it. Davenport's last three seasons, three total sacks. Za'Darius has more this year in half a season than Davenport has over three. Now, some of that is injury, but Davenport played 21 games in that span, and Za'Darius has been more productive
in
this
nine.
Season. Yep. Exactly. So, to your point, he's between Davenport and Hutch. He's much better than Davenport. No one will confuse him for Aiden Hutchinson.
No. And so you mentioned it, blitzes on the other side and the pressure up the middle. There's a lot of different things that they can do to try and mimic what Za'Darius was working with in Cleveland. It's not going to happen. He is not going to come in and replace Hutch. He is a guy that can come in and be better than what they had. And that is James Houston. It hasn't even been Josh Pascal. He hasn't played for the last 2 weeks. So he is a guy that they brought in to upgrade what they have been working with for the last 3 weeks.
All right, John. The Lions, will be favored in every game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'll ask you the impossible. Pick a loss. And for your case, you got to pick two.
I got to pick two.
Sorry, buddy.
Right, yes. I mean, they are allowed to do better.
Yes.
But I do have the buffer. I already picked the Texans to lose this week to our Detroit Lions. And so when you look at the rest of the schedule, it almost has to be division matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I think is one way that you could do it. So, and I really only have to pick one. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Because we saw last year what they did to the Packers in Green Bay. And then the turnaround of the Packers coming here and returning the favor on home field. I don't necessarily see that happening, although I think that's going to be a tough out at Ford Field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with at the Bears, because the Bears at that point will have nothing to lose, nothing to play for, and it's just going to simply be a spoiler. And I think something, it's just a division game where something weird happens. So they end up splitting with the Bears. And then they go out to San Francisco. They pound them. They secure the one seed. They sit Jared Goff. They sit Penei Sewell. They sit a couple of guys against the Vikings because it doesn't matter. So that's their second loss.
Okay. I feel like you a little cheeky there to get there.
A little back in there.
Okay. Now, the only thing I would say, are you going to sit guys back-to-back weeks because you have the bye?
Sure.
And different teams will handle it differently.
Okay, so even if they don't, all right, you play Jared Goff, you play the starters, you play everybody for the first two series.
And then you call off the
dogs.
Okay.
And everybody's out.
And that's the second.
That's the second one.
That's the third loss of the season. Let's get to DeVell in Madison Heights. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. So you actually stole my thunder because that's exactly how I felt we was going to get one more loss. I think we would have everything sold up by the San Francisco game. Home field, number one, all that division. And they played, you know, the starters one quarter just to get a taste of playing them, just in case we meet them in the playoffs. And then after that, you know, we just lose because we're going to have the backups in. That's the only loss.
So you think they lose to San Francisco first, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I would think that. I was thinking Chicago at Chicago, you know, in the elements. I'm like, well, we just won in the elements. Yeah. So, no, I'm good with that.
I know.
Well, I think
it's going to be San Fran.
I'm trying to manufacture a loss is kind of how I feel it now, but it's going to happen.
It's a challenge. I had the same thought. I go, okay, well, what is going to trip this team up? Because the weather didn't do it, and it was raining, and it was windy. Previously, I thought, yeah, at Chicago, could be snowing outdoors, windy city. I mean, Green Bay kind of prove that that's not going to be the thing that trips this football team up. Well,
the logical ones, the best opponents are Bills, Niners.
Yeah, and if the Niners are humming, they get CMC back. But I think Detroit, like we've seen against Dallas, has something to prove against San Francisco.
That's also why I don't think they sit anybody.
Not in that
even
game.
It'd be bizarre if the number one seed was locked up by then. It's possible.
With two weeks to go. It depends if they just go on a tear here. So just real quick, the schedule is Houston this week. We all picked them. Jacksonville next week.
Nah.
Come on. At Indy.
Nah.
Bears at home on Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving's been an issue for Detroit. But I'm not picking them to lose on Thanksgiving to the Bears. Right.
Are you
the Packers?
16.
Tariqa kind of dared me yesterday.
He dared you. 16.
Packers at home on Thursday night. I think they win that game as well. I'm going to go with the easy button. I think Josh Allen's a different breed, different cat. I think that's the only loss they have in the regular season.
Oh, so you don't think they can win the Super Bowl then?
See what he does to me, people? You see what this guy does?
He has to pick a loss.
It feels impossible, right? I mean, sure, Lions are better than the Bills. They win that game, then they win in Chicago because the weather doesn't matter anymore. They beat the Niners because of revenge. I suppose I could say that
the Vikings, maybe you'd take my easy way out.
Steal your easy. Yeah. But I don't know that you sit guys with 2 weeks off at that point. I do think you're going to put out your starters in that football game.
All right.
Thank you, John.
One loss is going to be Buffalo. That's the next loss. And I do believe that this team's going to have a little trouble with the top QBs in the league. And Josh Allen's one of them right now. He's, what, number three? Wouldn't you go Lamar, Mahomes, Lamar, and then Allen?
Like, think about this. Jordan Love, turnovers killed him. He had the time to make plays against his Lions defense. Yep. Josh Allen used to be that quarterback. He has really reduced his turnovers. If a Josh Allen who doesn't commit turnovers comes to Detroit, and even if he doesn't have the same amount of time because of Zadarius, he'll buy his own time. He's Josh Allen.
Plus, James Cook has been absolutely phenomenal this year, and they've really created a dynamic there. And I think Amari Cooper was a great add. One of the sneakiest trade deadline acquisitions.
Good for them.
And look, I don't think the Lions are going to get blown out by any means. I think it'll be a classic, and they'll just end up barely losing, and then I think the other loss will be that Viking game, because after they're going to play Monday night in San Francisco, and that's when they're going to clinch the NFC in the one seed, and they're going to really give these guys a break in that game. They'll play a few series, like you said. But
if we all think revenge matters, because we felt like it did in Dallas, you mentioned it in San Francisco, why wouldn't revenge be a part of the mindset of Buffalo?
Well, that was 2 years ago.
Somebody's okay, got to still here,
we
though.
All forget.
Yeah, Decker.
I guarantee you, Penei Sewell, I guarantee you, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff didn't forget.
Do you remember after that game, Taylor Decker said? He said, we're not the same old Lions. And at that time,
right.
I think there were people who were still not sold on that. They lost, and he said they weren't the same old Lions. But that was during that stretch when things were starting
to turn. If they had won that game, they would have been in the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
I just don't think their defense has quite seen a quarterback like that, and I think they could be a little bit exposed in that situation. Look, we're forecasting something 6 weeks down the road.
Right.
I mean,
we have no idea what injuries are going to happen.
Well, yeah, or what if Za'Darius Smith comes in here and he borderline looks like he's replacing Hutch.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we don't know where this thing's headed. I'm just taking, like Jim said, it's the safe pick.
You know what I think is going to happen on the ticket text? And I haven't looked yet. Why is our local morning show picking against? Why are they looking to find losses? Why are they so negative? Guys, it's a challenge to find a loss. But if you guys want to take that challenge, 248-539-9797, come relish in the smallest amount of negativity possible. The Lions should handle their business against Houston. If you have thoughts on the matchup, we'll get those there next as well. 97.1.
Hey, if you like success like we all do, you need to give a call to injury attorney David Femininio. I've been talking to him about you for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David has been able to get for his injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an individual client. That's a lot of success. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you. And you can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH. Or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, stop. We're looking for one, maybe two losses the rest of the way. The Lions feel invincible. Nothing phases them. We all think they're winning this week and covering. But at 15-2 or 14-3, that means there are losses still on the schedule. Help us find them because it's not coming up clearly or obviously.
I do think whenever it happens, there is a chance it doesn't happen. It's unlikely because it's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs. And there's a lot of factors involved. The Lions have had so many things go their way this year. They have had, even at the beginning of the season when offensive tackles were being hurt, what did we talk about Hutch? He was abusing backups, high school tackles, and now all of a sudden, we're 7-1. Like, there's been other things. Like, how can you explain Amon-Ra St. Brown having two catches for 7 yards and you score 52 points on a team? Like, there's just so many things that are inexplicable.
But you also make your own luck.
Sure, you do. And so they are not just handling the business they're supposed to handle. They're handling it in dominant fashion. They play the Titans, and it's not just they win by a field goal at the end. It's 52-14. They play, the Cowboys, who were decimated with injuries, but they still had their number one receiver, their number one quarterback. They had a lot of things that they still had, and it was a 47-9 drubbing.
Let me put it this way. Cash the ticket. We do all the betting and picking all these games, and it's one thing to win. It's another thing to be the favorite, big favorites, and cover every single week. And the Lions are 7-1 overall and 7-1 against the number this season. It's, John, even when you give the other team points, even if the NFL allowed the other team, spotted them a lead, took gambling out onto the field, the Lions would still be 7-1. So you really do have to realize, even with the adversity, even if you spot the other team points, Detroit is just a cut above everybody else.
So Wojo and Rieger last night were talking, and Rieger kind of started going to, is this one of this great single season teams in NFL history? And they're bringing up teams they compare to, and they brought up some of the numbers for the Patriots in 07 are unbelievable. Like the
but
Patriots,
they were just a one-off.
The Patriots were more that, yeah, but that one season, I mean, even though they didn't win it, that team was, it was unbelievable what they did. Greatest Show on Turf was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions have scored one less point than the Greatest Show on Turf through eight games. And that team had a very good defense. Always, people forgot that about that Rams team. It actually, their defense is what won them the NFC Championship game.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or the Super Bowl, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, their offense kind of, the good defenses they had to play to win it all, the Rams defense kind of saved the day for them. And you know what, guys? I told you the thing that I've said all along. I feel like this 85 Bears thing that I've been saying, and they're not from a defensive perspective, but from a cohesive team and the depth of the roster, the way it just came on like gangbusters is like, that's the argument for one loss or no more losses. Are they one of those teams?
Well, yeah, I'll give you another stat on it. Point differential. The best in football, 110 more points scored than given up. By the way, they've played eight games. There are teams that have had nine games to run up the score. Detroit is still the best team in the NFL from a point differential standpoint.
And I think here's the thing that we're going to experience. We're always talking, if this happens and that happens, then they could do this. Well, if they lose, I think we're all going to be surprised. And not that they did lose, but who they lose to. And maybe it's less of a surprise if it's to the Bills, because a lot of people have Lions Bills in the Super Bowl. It's maybe less surprised if it's San Francisco, especially if San Francisco gets healthy. They're not going to get Ayuk back, but they get healthy and they're humming at that time. But I really feel like Lions fans right now, because they are going to be favored, and if things keep going the way they are, they're going to be favored in every single game. It's going to be a bit of a surprise.
Listen, if you ask Dan Campbell and you got an honest answer from him, he kind of already said it. The only reason they lost a game this year was because of him.
Yeah.
He put the loss on him because of his decision making in that game. I mean, that's what they are from being undefeated.
Some of the ticket text. When do they lose? Texter says they'll lose Thanksgiving Day. That would be three games in 11 days. I also think they'll lose to Buffalo and win everything else. Could see them losing to Minnesota at the end of the season. So there's two or three losses. Mm-hmm. Lions lose three games the rest of the way. Packers come in angry like last year. They'll have a full week to prepare, and Detroit will be on a short week off of Thanksgiving. Says the Bills and Josh Allen in the last game of the year, because they're sitting guys, the Lions will finish with four losses, 13-4. Texter says, guys, I'm worried that the only game I go to this season against the Jags will be the upset. Please talk me off the ledge. I don't think we have to.
No.
The game is a classic up-down theory this week. Lions coming off a big emotional win. Houston coming off a really bad loss. Extra time to prepare. Won't be surprised if this week.
Was it a big emotional win? I mean, okay, it was a bigger win because it was Green Bay. It was the division. It was the rain. It was all that stuff. But I don't necessarily know it was an emotional win. The Minnesota game was an emotional win. It was a last-second field goal.
Different kind of emotion. The emotion after the Packer game was kind of a thumping their chest. See, we're not a dome team. See, we can play outdoors. It was a statement, loud, like high emotion game. Yeah. I mean, St. Brown came in on edge saying Green Bay sucks and went out immediately and put it on him. Like, there was a lot of emotion spent to win that football game. I get what he's saying.
Yeah, but here's the thing about preparing for the Bills. They're coming off, that's going to be a 10-day prep.
You're saying the Texans.
No. I'm talking about when they play the Bills. If you're picking the Bills as the loss,
yeah.
That's a 10-day prep for them. A little bit extra rest, a little bit extra prep.
Sure. This one says, Lions will lose on Thanksgiving like they seem to do every year. After that, I could see a loss against the Bills. Trevor in South Lyon. All right, we got a lot still to do today. Question for Michigan fans at 8:02. John Jansen with you've mentioned
home
this.
Question, yeah.
A big life question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up at 7:35. Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, guys, three people have been charged in connection with Liam Payne's death. So Argentinian authorities have ruled out self-harm of any kind or foul play in his fall from that hotel balcony. And they say he was in a state of either semi or total unconsciousness at the time. Now, one of the defendants was described as one of his friends who I guess had been like staying with him in the hotel, had been on this trip with him, was with him, they say, on a daily basis during his stay. This person has been charged with abandonment of a person followed by death.
Mm.
Yeah. The other two are charged with supplying him the drugs, including one of the hotel housekeepers who authorities believe delivered the drugs to him in this soapbox that was found in the room, because toxicology reports did confirm that he was under the influence for at least 3 days leading up to his fall. He had traces of alcohol, cocaine, and prescription antidepressants in his system. The whole story is so tragic.
It is.
The details don't make it any, not that it could ever be better, but
yeah.
It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Police in northern Michigan say that they found several pipe bombs in a donated box at a thrift store on Wednesday.
What?
Yeah. So according to police, there was this employee at New Beginnings Thrift Shop. This was in Harbor Springs, and they picked up a cardboard box somebody had dropped off, right? And they discovered these pipe bombs. There was other things in the box too. There was tools and some other items, but obviously saw these pipe bombs, got a little concerned. So Michigan State Police Bomb Squad, the K-9 team was called to the scene. They did a whole x-ray of the pipe bombs. One of them was found to have a fuse and powder. So that bomb was taken by the police. They did sweep the entire business. No other explosives were found. Everyone's okay, but it's still under investigation.
Hmm.
Where did it come from? Who dropped off that box? Why was it there? Mm-hmm. Right? All the questions you want to know. Kirk Herbstreit shared some devastating news.
Oh, no. We talked about this yesterday.
We did. Yeah. Ben, his beloved golden retriever, passed away following a battle with cancer. So he had shared on his social media that Ben was undergoing chemo treatments, had lost like movement in its hind legs, couldn't walk. It was just a sad story, but was hoping that these treatments would help, but obviously he didn't. He shared on social media. He said, "This is really hard to write, but so many of you have loved and cared about Ben that I wanted to let you know. We found out today that the cancer had spread throughout Ben's organs and there was nothing left we could do. We had to let him go." It's really sad. And then he goes on to honor him and calling him like one of one. So I've owned many dogs, but Ben was... Well, Ben was one of one.
So things like this always happen in everybody's life.
Yeah.
And you know that you've got to continue to go and do your job. He has a very public job last night. Mm-hmm. He had to have energy. He had to be excited about football and all of this going on with, you know, having to put his pup to rest.
It's tough. I haven't had to do that yet. I've never had dogs up until the dogs that I have now.
Oh, really?
I've done it once with a cat. And that was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I was also pregnant, so it was like super emotional at the time. But that was tough. I've never had to put an animal down where you're there with it, watching this living being taking its last. It's tough. It's really tough. And it's something that a beloved animal. It's really hard. So thoughts to him. Finally, some good news, you guys. Your Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you less this year.
Your turkey and some
of the side dishes are expected to be a bit cheaper this year thanks to some cooling inflation. So according to some data, this year's Thanksgiving dinner will cost $50.58 on average. That's about $3 less than last year, but it's still roughly $10 more than it was back in 2019. But still, some good news.
That's good.
Heather with the news. All right. John has hinted at it. Major life move. We'll get to it next. 97.1. John's making a life move. You've hinted at this, I think, in some of the spots you've done.
Yeah, some of the reads, yeah.
I haven't talked about it.
Yeah, I've done the rapid roofing, and I've talked about the value it added to our house and what it means to sell your house. Obviously, Mastercraft Heating, Plumbing, Cooling, and Electrical. A little bonus for those guys. They're awesome. But yeah, we're moving. And we found a house that we want to move to. We've got a contract on our house. And so the question is, as we've gone through the entire process, obviously we're not done with it. There's a lot of anxiety in doing the entire thing. What's the best thing about selling your house? and what is the worst? Because we had our home inspection yesterday, and to me, the worst thing is that the sale could be hinged on the home inspection. As somebody who I pride myself in keeping a healthy house,
mm-hmm.
and when something breaks, you know, maybe you don't fix it right away. And we all do this, right? We fix everything before we're going to sell it so that everybody, you know, when they come in.
You always do. People always do that.
People always do that, yep. Yes. But because, you know, I mean, you're living it, you're like, I'll get to it someday. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, if I don't fix it, I'm not going to, you know, it's not going to sell. To me, the home inspection is like a final exam. It's judgment on how well I have maintained our home. It's judgment on the repairs, the improvements, all of that. And it has given me great angst. And I kept wondering, why is it? Because I kind of feel like I do a nice job. And I feel like I take care of all the important things. And it's an older home, so things do happen, but you fix them.
Because you might feel like it's, if something goes wrong, they're judging
it's
you.
It's my fault.
It's a judgment
on you. Yeah,
totally.
I feel like it's a judgment on me. Yeah.
Moving is a stressful, stressful process. Not only getting your house ready, it looks the best it's ever looked for other people, but it's the time commitment that you're putting in so much time. And then the packing of boxes and moving. Yeah. I think the best thing, though, of selling a home and moving is the opportunity to declutter.
Yes.
Get rid of all of the old stuff you don't use that have just been sitting there. Maybe it's stored away in a box, but still, it's just been there in your storage place, wasting space. Just get rid of it. Purge all those things you don't need and like start fresh.
Yep. Unless there was a box labeled, you know, like I have some stuff that when the kids were growing up, like a blanket that maybe Lucy had or like some memories, right?
Sentimental
and
stuff.
When we were talking about American Girl dolls, they had it and I have saved their stuff, not for, you know, not for as an investment, but if they have daughters,
they can give it to them.
Then you know, they can say, hey, this was my American Girl doll. This was her bed. This is all this stuff. So yeah, I have some of that stay. But if there were boxes that were unopened from when we moved into the house, gone.
Get rid of it.
Gone. You know, but here's the thing too is, and I hope people do this. Some stuff is just crap, right? And you don't want to give other people your crap. But if you have old clothes, you know, you have other things that you're not using, other people can. Mm-hmm. And so being able to take it to Salvation Army, Goodwill, there is.
Or your coworker that just had a baby.
Right. You've gotten some clothes. Yes. And so a lot of those things do. That's the best part of it is the declutter. It's the getting rid of what is crap to you, but it's also kind of that nice feeling that you might be actually helping somebody else out because instead of sitting in your basement, somebody else could actually use it.
How did you do on that exam?
I don't know yet.
Oh, you don't know?
We'll find out this morning. Yeah. It's P or F.
I'm sure it will pass.
I do think it will. Heather, you put it because Lisa kept asking me, why do you have so much anxiety about this? It is 100% a judgment on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. And that may not be that way, but that's how I perceive it.
In your head, you think they're going to go, well, someone lives like this.
Right. I can't believe it.
This man, John Jansen, kept his home like this.
Just let it go.
I'm not moving here.
Oh, disgusting.
Pull our offer.
How dare they?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the house is in the best shape it's ever been since you've lived there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that's I finally nailed it. That's the anxiety that I feel.
Have you sold a house yet?
No.
It's a very stressful process. There's just a lot that goes into it. And it is funny how much you clean and prepare for your photos and these walkthroughs. And it's like, I just did all of this for random people and I should have been doing this for myself and living like this for so long.
Yeah. And when you read a home inspection report too, you're like, you know, even for a new home, like how is this house even standing? Like the home inspectors come in and they pick it apart, which is their job.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah,
you want to know what you're buying. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you're like, oh, I can't believe this house is still standing.
Because, I mean, having not sold a house, I've clearly bought a house. And yeah, I've been on the other side of it. And you're right. You're looking for...
Oh, you look for everything.
Yeah, because you want to make sure. Because you might be able to take something off the price. Or walk away from a bad deal or a bad home.
Or you walk into it with your eyes wide open, knowing, okay, when we move in, this is some of the things we got to do.
Yeah. Get you a head start. Head start on all that stuff.
Yeah.
You said, what, the worst part of moving is...
I think it's just the time commitment and stress.
Are you at the stage where you're going to hire movers?
To a point.
You're going to need to, right? All the furniture. Or you're going to move all that yourself.
I'd like to think I can move it.
Well, of course you can, John.
But that's a pain in the ass.
Again,
you're judging me.
You can move furniture, but you have a big truck, right? But you're going to have to make a moving truck.
Right, yeah.
Only so much furniture fits in a truck bed.
We will pack all of our stuff.
Sure.
I'm not going to pay somebody to pack our stuff. And we have enough lead time to be able to do that. We'll start chipping away at it. We'll have somebody once everything's in boxes, once everything's wrapped up. Yeah. Yes, we'll hire somebody to come in and help move out and move in.
Because when we moved into the current house, we said that's the last time we're ever going to move without movers. Because that is the worst part. Because you're doing it all yourself and you're lugging.
Yeah, but you're coming from an apartment, right?
Yeah. So there's only so much damage we could do. But my brother, he recently moved. He moved out of state and. I said, are you going to hire movers? He goes, no, I thought you'd come up and help me out. So I did. And I got my dad and me, and he's got all this glass blowing equipment. So it's, this really straining to move it into the... That's the worst part of moving.
Yeah.
Well, those bongs take up a lot of space.
They do.
Don't want to break them. We need a break.
It's fragile. Handle with care.
Uh-huh.
So you guys let us know. 248-539-9797. John's making a move. The best and worst part of moving.
But it's super exciting. I mean, the thought of moving. I mean, it's a new adventure, a new home. You get to put your own stamp on this new place just like you want it. Like, there's so much excitement around it.
We just grew out of it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We keep multiplying. And the kids are growing. They're changing. They need different things as well. And so, yeah, we are certainly excited because then once you mentally make that switch where you're still in your old home, but you start... seeing yourself living your daily life and putting yourself in the new home. That's the exciting part. And then it just feels like it's never going to get here.
Tom, Greg, thoughts on moving?
The worst part about moving is when you're moving out is getting all of the little stuff that you don't realize accumulates, but it accumulates like all the like corners and the nooks and crannies of your house.
Yeah. And you realize how much crap your kids have.
The junk.
Yeah. Because garbage. You know where you have put everything, but then you start going into their rooms and asking them to pack things up. And it's like, I mean, are you listening to me?
Now, I just moved from an apartment to apartment or an apartment to a house. I've only done an apartment to a house one time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So maybe it is different.
House to house?
House to house. And I do remember, like, we went through a lot of this when my parents moved out of their house in Brighton, the childhood house that I grew up in, and moved into an apartment. There was a lot of talk of, do we need to move this for the estate sale? Should we donate it? Should we do all this work? And I just had to remind everybody that leave it for the people who are taking the house, and they will decide to do with it as they please, and that's fine.
Yeah, and on Twitch, it's funny. I knew this was going to happen, right? Yeah. Such a guy thing to say. I like to think I can move it, move everything. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said that, was my first response. What would make you think I can't move myself?
Last time we moved was 16, and that's the first time I got movers. It's just, you're getting into mid-40s at that point, and I was just like, I don't move the way I used to.
But it's
especially stairs.
Yes. First of all, I think of yourself and your joints and everything, but also the other people in your life you're going to ask to help you move, too. Nobody wants to help you move.
I'm surprised. I understand that you used to be an offensive lineman
big strong guy.
If you, that's kind of the running joke, right? If you have a truck, then everybody asks you to help move because you don't drive a truck.
No, you can get a U-Haul. They're pretty cheap.
Yes. Your brother said, I'm going to ask the guy with the EV to help me move.
Right. He's like, I just need you to help me lift stuff, pick things up and put them down. All right, fine. I can be a body. Sure. We could, but it's a pain in the ass. And you are asking other people to help you move typically. And at some point in your life, pizza and beer is not sufficient. So I wonder, like, when you reach that point. Ticket Texture says, paying movers when I moved houses was the greatest money I ever spent. Mike in Sterling Heights. Mm-hmm. John, to your point about home inspections, It's like going to the dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan in St. Clair Shores.
It is. And it's such a different feeling, too, because it just feel like you're being judged. You're being graded.
All right, it's a Football Friday. If you miss Lions, Odyssey Rewind. We're going to get back into the Lions coming up later. 802 Michigan, Indiana, some football preview. More of your phone calls and your ticket text. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think everyone should, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, and I've dealt with them in both, on the business side and day-to-day, they're great. First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as they feel they need to so that they can understand you and your situation best and build a financial plan that fits you. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. They're with you every single step of the way, at home and out. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
A lot of football on a Football Friday. 802 Michigan, Indiana. A big question from the Peanut Gallery. Brian Baldinger will join us at 8:18 today. We've got the Friday picks and a lot of Lions. But we have a pit stop here because John has a life move.
Oh, yeah.
A literal move.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving. And we've asked the question, best and worst parts of moving. I've got some ticket texts. We've got some phone calls to get to. Let's start on the phones and let's start with Jake in Birmingham. Jake, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Huge fan. Listen every morning. Big Michigan fan. I'm actually in the middle of a move myself with my 8-month-old son and wife and puppy, and it's very anxiety-ridden. But what I think is the most stressful part is just the part that's out of your control. There's so many different moments that you can do everything you can in packing, and then the biggest part that's out of your control is the waiting game. There's a lot of time where you get in your head and do so many more things, and it's just out of your control.
It is the exact. There is a lot of hurry up and wait, and whether it's the offer that you put on the new place, waiting for them to come back and counter, or it's getting your place ready and trying to get it to sell. Because most people, right, and Jake, and I don't know if you're in the same position, you got to have your house sell before you can settle on the next one because you need that down payment.
That is where I was at. I'm thankful to finally have closed on both properties, so I'm on the tail end of all of it.
Oh, good for you.
My goodness, it was stressful on the whole family. And, of course, it's like taking on another job. The amount of, like Heather said, the amount of time that you have to put into it.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate you every morning.
Thanks, Jake.
And light at the end of the tunnel for you. Happy that it's all going to work out there. Ticket Texter says, home inspection is a total scam. Ask Gator. He found out his house had a fire after he already bought it.
Huh.
I didn't know that story.
So the inspector didn't see it prior?
Well, yeah, but you can have things that happen in your house and they're repaired.
Let's say, was there fire damage?
Like, old house had a fire in it.
Okay.
Before we bought it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the basement, they had a sauna down there.
And it didn't stop you from buying it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I mean, what kind of fire?
You know, was things happen.
Kitchen fire, the whole house burned down?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Rebuild.
Did Gator complain about it? I don't know. That's... Yeah. Anyway, Texter says, moving the stuff in the garage is the worst part.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. And especially when you do like to fix things, like there's a lot of little tools and.
Yeah. But it's so exciting when you move and you get to reorganize all of those.
Oh, sure.
It's so
it takes years.
Great. It does. It takes forever. But you got to look at it that way. Like this sucks packing it all up, but just wait till I can organize
it all.
It
was funny. We went over to the house and we're measuring for different things. And Lisa's, obviously she's looking at the kitchen. She wants the couch here, this and that. And I spent probably a half an hour, Teddy and I, measuring the garage.
Yeah, of course.
Texter says, John, are you getting away from the common folk? Will a drawbridge and a moat be part of this move?
No.
Are you moving next to Stoney?
No, I'm not. Across the street? No. Stoney has this thing in his contract where coworker is allowed to live near him because he needs his space. The moat isn't enough, but yeah, he needs a certain buffer after he leaves work.
Texter says, we're selling a house built in 1842.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We had an offer, and the inspector wrote a manifesto to kill the deal. I'm a do-it-yourself guy. I was very offended. Travis in Rochester.
Ooh. So if you put a house, or you put an offer on a house that was built in 1842, you got to go into it already with the understanding that there's going to be, it's
issues.
An old house.
Yeah.
Texter says, I'm almost 60, moved from one house to another, did it all by myself, bad knees and all. Man up. You don't have to. Don't put yourself through it. Texter says, watch your back moving. Nothing strains your back like moving, no matter how fit you are. Moving is horrible. I never thought so, but 10 years ago, I was sitting at a table at a wedding, and two psychiatrists were sitting there. They laughed and said, in our business, moving takes 10 years off your life.
Wow.
I got an idea, John. Why don't you reunite the 97 offensive line and they all move? They can all help you move.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Hutch. Who else? I can't remember names.
Backus. Mo Williams. Yeah.
There's a point where friends, beer, pizza, and pickups is not the way to go. Hire a mover on the ticket text.
Just be careful who you hire.
You have a horror story?
Oh, I told it here years ago. A very bad story. So yeah, just do your research.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who not to hire.
Okay.
Safe.
Yeah. Yes. The dreaded safe. Yeah.
Okay, for people who don't know, what is this?
What is that? Is that the grunting of moving a safe?
No, that's the safe dragging across the floor.
Oh. Yes, and then the onto the pavement, watching all of this happen in like slow mo, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, they're ruining my stuff.
But I am also excited though because, I've cared for this house, and I'm excited for when it finally is done and somebody else is in there. For them to enjoy it the same way we did.
You haven't got to meet them yet, have you?
No,
do that at closing.
Yeah.
But it could be nice. I mean, it's exciting to see if it's a young family that has kids, too, that's going to move in there and kind of see them and give them good luck. And
I don't know,
be in touch with them a little bit. It could be nice.
You fell in love with it, and it worked for your family. Somebody else will as well. I just, you just hope that they care for it the same way you did.
Of course.
And I'm sure they will. Yeah.
I never met the people that...
Oh, you didn't?
Like, I mean, we know who they are, and I think we had Facebooked them and talked to them, but like never a formal like closing. It was all through the realtors.
Oh, really?
We just got the keys. Oh, it was our day to take possession of the house.
Oh, yeah. We met the people at closing. We've talked to them since. We're friends on Facebook.
Well, it helps if stuff comes up, right? Mm-hmm. When did you do this?
Yeah.
What's going on with this? Or you leave back, behind like paint and, whatever. Yeah, all the stuff that you would need. Ticket Texter says, my husband and I have moved 7 times in our life. You definitely live a more minimal lifestyle.
Yes.
I've never hired movers. We've always done it ourselves. Signed, Rebecca, driving into work, and today is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Rebecca.
Yeah.
All right, we can take some more phone calls on this. We will mix in football in the 8 o'clock hour. Michigan, Indiana, the question that's on Tom Milliken's mind. It's 97.1.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.